Welcome to a new week of Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. My name is Lucas Kitchen, and my hope is that you'll join us every weekday at this same time. We're continuing through our current series, Confident in Christ. This is also the title of a book written by discussion leader Bob Wilkin. I would love for you to learn more about who we are and why we're here, and I'll talk more about that at the end of today's program. Now, have you ever heard the Bible teaches that a believer in Christ can lose his or her salvation by falling from grace? Paul does mention falling from grace in his letter to the Galatians, but what does that mean? And is your version of salvation a version that includes works? If you or I fell from grace biblically, what would we be losing? Well, let's jump right into our discussion with Bob and Sean. Here is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
My name is Bob Wilkin.
Well, as always, we're going to put the focus on God's grace in this episode. Specifically, there's a passage in Galatians 5, verse 4, that sometimes kind of gives people pause. We believe that when you believe in Jesus for everlasting life, you have that life as a present possession, and it's a life that can never be lost. It's everlasting. But every once in a while, you get problem passages that might suggest to some people that you can lose your salvation. One such passage is Galatians 5, chapter 4, and this is what it says. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. What does that phrase, fallen from grace, mean? Well, Bob, can you just kind of lay out the context for us?
Yes, the context is that Paul went to the region of Galatia and planted a number of churches.
And Galatia is what we would call, it's a part of modern-day Turkey.
Yes.
It was a province in the Roman Empire, just kind of to the right of Greece in modern-day Turkey. So it's a whole province. It's not just a city.
Right.
This isn't just one church.
It's not one church. It's multiple churches. And he planted these churches. And after he left, some legalists came in. We call them Judaizers from the word Judaism. And these Judaizers were saying, you start your salvation by faith in Christ, but you're not going to obtain final salvation. You're not going to make it all the way to the kingdom unless you're circumcised and unless you keep the law of Moses.
And so Paul came in and he was preaching justification by faith apart from works.
Right.
That is the one condition to be justified, to simply believe in Jesus for it, and God declares you righteous. He imputes righteousness to you on the basis of your faith. And works have nothing to do with that. And these guys came in. When Paul moved out, they moved in, and they were saying, no, no, no. Faith is good, but it's not enough. You also need to do these Jewish works.
Right. And in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul calls that a false gospel. And he says, let them be accursed. Let them be under God's curse. That's not an issue of whether they're born again or not, although most likely these Judaizers were not born again people who had fallen away. These were people who never were born again in the first place. There's no evidence that they were. But the readers are born again people. Notice chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Christ hasn't made unbelievers free. And what he's talking about is when they came to faith in Christ, they were set free from bondage to sin. Well, they're going back into bondage to sin if they put themselves under the law of Moses, if they put themselves under legalism. In their position, they're not slave to sin, but they can be in their experience if they fall to the Judaizers. So he warns them, indeed, I, Paul, say to you, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. That's not saying you're not going to get into the kingdom. That's saying in this life, Christ is not going to profit you. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised, he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Then he says, you have fallen from grace, or you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. And so the point is, these are born-again people. These are Christians who have fallen from the experience of grace.
They've become confused, he says. They started off well. They started off believing in the doctrine of justification by faith apart from works. And now they're trying to be justified by works. They're trying to mix the two. They're trying to mix law and grace. They're trying to mix faith alone with just a little bit of works here. And Paul is telling them, no, 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 that's not how it works. If you do this one thing, you're obligated to do it all.
That's exactly right. In chapter 3, he says, "Who has bewitched you?" It's like someone has cast a spell over them. They knew it was by faith alone, apart from works, when Paul was there and preached to them. But now these other people come in and they've confused them. And evidently there were some in the church that were getting to the point where they were attempting to be justified by law. Now, there's no indication in the book that any of the men had yet undergone circumcision. There's no reason why it would be bad to undergo circumcision if it was just a physical thing. But they were going to undergo circumcision as part of their salvation so that they could somehow make it into the kingdom. That would be bad.
Right. They weren't making a medical decision that might have health benefits.
Right.
They were thinking, I need to do this because the cross didn't do enough for me. I need to supplement the cross with my own works, such as circumcision.
Now, they wouldn't probably, in the front of their thinking, think somehow the work of Christ wasn't finished. But the truth is, it ultimately is an affront to the blood of Christ.
Right. Even if you only think that you have 1% to accomplish, 1% to add to your salvation, that's still salvation by works.
You know, one of the things we need to talk about, Sean, is what fallen from grace means. A lot of people think fallen from grace means you've lost everlasting life. But that's not the issue. Paul had taught clearly that it's impossible for a believer to lose everlasting life. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 5:10, he told the believers in Thessalonica that Christ died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
That's right. And there's another verse that kind of has a similar idea, 2 Timothy 2:13, where Paul says, if we are faithless, that is, if you're a Christian and you are not living for Jesus, you're not abiding for him, you're rebelling against him, you're living in sin. If we are faithless, listen to this, he remains faithful. Isn't that amazing? He cannot deny himself. Even if you are, as my pastor would say, a good-for-nothing Christian, he is still faithful to you, even if you're unfaithful to him.
Amen. And the verse that I came to faith in, or the verses, were Ephesians 2:8 and 9, which say the same thing. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's a perfect tense. You have been saved. Perfect passive. We don't save ourselves. We were saved by Christ. That perfect tense is something which happened in the past and has an abiding result. So he's pointing out that they've been saved and they're going to be saved forever, and it's by grace through faith. So Paul is not talking here about falling from eternal life. He's talking about falling from the favor of God. The word grace means favor. He's talking about falling from the experience of God's favor in the Christian life.
They're putting themselves back into bondage, out of the freedom that Christ gave them. And that has no good end result for them.
Right. Dr. Donald Campbell wrote the commentary on Galatians in Dallas Seminary's Bible Knowledge Commentary. And here's what he says about Galatians 5:4. I like this quote. The issue here is not loss of salvation. For grace is referred to not as salvation itself, but as a method of salvation, compare 2:21. If the Galatians accepted circumcision as necessary for salvation, they would be leaving the grace system for the Mosaic law system. The same error is repeated today when a believer leaves a church that emphasizes salvation by grace through faith and joins one which teaches that salvation depends on repentance, confession, baptism, and church membership.
Wow, that is a thought-provoking quote, because I meet so many Christians, and I belong to a church that did this. They said, we know that salvation by works or by faith plus works is true because it goes all the way back to the ancient church. And I always point back to them and I say, that's right, it does go back to the ancient church. It goes right back to the Galatian churches, but they were in error. Even though it's so old, they were in error. It's an old error. It's something that was happening in Paul's day. They had just heard the message of justification by faith apart from works, and they started falling away. And that has continued on to our own day, hasn't it?
Right. It's really tragic because people will often look and say, well, because this is older, it must be best. So if the early church taught work salvation, that must be right. And sometimes they'll look at the majority view The truth is, when God tells us about the promise of everlasting life, it's God that's telling us. It's not the early church. It's not the majority of people in the church. And so we need to go to the scriptures, and we need to not fall from grace. To fall from grace would be to move from the position that I'm justified by grace through faith, apart from works, and moving to some sort of legalistic system.
And Paul must have been thinking about the kind of reasoning you were just mentioning. In the first chapter, as we've already mentioned before, Paul said, "But if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." The truth is not by majority vote. The gospel is not by majority vote. The gospel is what God declares in his word. And if someone contradicts that, they are under God's curse.
That's exactly right. And I remember I spoke at a seminary and I spoke about some of these issues, and a young man came up to me afterwards and said, "You know, you just contradicted 500 years of Reform scholarship." And I said, "Well, in the first place, I don't know that that's true, because there are many people within Reform thought that agree with what I'm saying. But in the second place, we don't determine truth based on a majority vote. We determine truth by studying the scriptures."
That's right. And so what is a believer to do today to avoid this error of the Galatians?
I grew up in Southern California, and I used to go to Huntington Beach, and I liked to body surf. And so when I would go out to body surf, oftentimes you would experience something called undertow. And undertow would be pulling you out toward the ocean, and it would also move you from left to right. And it was a strong pull. And it could be very dangerous. Well, there's an undertow in Christianity, and we need to stand against the tide. If there's a strong undertow that's pushing us away from the grace of God, we need to stand firm. We need to be in a church that's clear on the grace message, and we need to stand firm on this message to our friends, to our loved ones, not in a hostile way, in a loving way, to let them know we care for them. And we want them to have the certainty that we have, that we know for sure that we have everlasting life that can never be lost.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for teaching us what Paul meant by fallen from grace. We need to be careful not to adopt legalistic thinking, which always leads us to a diminished experience of God's grace. We need to stand firm and be lovingly clear about the grace message. Eternal salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, apart from works. This is Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. I hope that you'll keep making it a daily habit to join us at this same time, Monday through Friday. We'd love to interact with you, and our goal is for you to know us better as well. Please take a moment to visit faithalone.org. At faithalone.org, you can sign up for our bi-monthly free magazine. It's called Grace in Focus. There's no cost or obligation. It is a free subscription. You can also leave an email comment or question for us at radio@faithalone.org. Well, our time today is coming to a close. We look forward to meeting with you again tomorrow, when our discussion title will be Erasers in Heaven. Do you think there's erasers in heaven? I could hear one person saying, "I sure hope not," while another person says, "Oh, I hope so." I guess it all depends on what's being erased. At any rate, I hope you'll be here next time to find out what this is all about. I'm Lucas Kitchen. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.